American architect Raymond Hood teamed with John Mead Howells in 1929 for the design of the New York Daily News building. He continued to design and publish into the 1930s with Rockefeller Center and the McGraw-Hill buildings as his two best-known works of the decade. In addition to skyscrapers, Raymond Hood designed public monuments, churches, residential buildings, asylums, commercial structures, including a Masonic temple here in Scranton at the end of the 1920s. And he had a vision, we're told, for enhancing urban life. He proposed the construction of enormous buildings that would span many city blocks, that would house all the components of a prosperous city. Entertainment, industry, housing, retail space, even, it can be supposed, eateries. That from an essay on architect Raymond Hood by Jennifer Terry in the Encyclopedia of the Jazz Age. And though the original impulse for the building here in Scranton was not outward-looking, the enormity of the building and its ability to accommodate under its tremendous roof or roofs everything these days, from entertainment, education, a measure of retail activity at special times, food preparation and presentation and the partaking of such food, but also a good deal of pageantry and theatrical activity that those who commissioned the original Masonic Temple and Scottish Rite Cathedral in downtown Scranton did have in mind, do make this building an unusual space and place indeed in the 21st century. As for its history, we're told that over time, the Masonic fraternity realized the need to utilize the facility in more non-traditional ways. A grassroots effort was launched to form a not-for-profit organization dedicated to both preserving the physical structure of the Masonic Temple and providing an ongoing programming source for the community. Today, the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple operates the facility as a regional performance and cultural hub. The center serves as the residence for national tours of Broadway musicals and concerts and hosts many of the area's top regional companies. It also has kept to its earliest purposes by continuing to serve as the center of Masonic activity in the region. Presently, the center is undergoing a several-phased multi-million-dollar restoration. In the mid-1990s, new roofs were installed, including a complete replacement of the copper roof system and gutters over the south end of the building. Lead paint and asbestos issues were addressed in the late 1990s. Since then, all new electric services have been installed. Air conditioning was incorporated into the theater and ballroom. The Grand Ballroom received major restoration work, and one of the most recent renovations was the addition of the Raymond Hood Room in the lower level. All that from the Scranton Cultural Center website. The 2016-2017 season, performance and event season, continues.
Opening another show in Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show.
Deborah Moran Peterson became the center's executive director just about 1 year ago. She paid a visit to the WVIA studios with Rachel Fronduti, PR and marketing director of the center, to talk with us about the one-of-a-kind facility and what's about to fill its many floors in the weeks and months ahead. Rachel Fronduti.
The Scranton Cultural Center is a magnificent piece of architecture in downtown Scranton. It is on the National Register of Historic Places, and it is 180,000-plus square feet, so large that the White House could fit inside of it three times. The Masons built it starting in 1927, and it was opened in 1930. And the materials that you'll find in it are just second to none and so exquisite that really and truly this building could not be built today in the manner that it is. And if it were, it would cost millions and millions and millions of dollars to try to replicate it.
And what's so extraordinary about the building that it was built by renowned architect Raymond Hood? And if you read any of the background information on Raymond Hood, he mentions the Scranton Cultural Center in a almost like a little footnote. But here, to us, it's such a national and a historic treasure. And it is a beautiful, beautiful building. And it's our responsibility at the Scranton Cultural Center to keep it going and to keep it preserved for future generations.
When you talk about the size and the space of this building, You have a stage that can accommodate Broadway.
National Broadway shows and beautiful major productions that can't go other places, which is, makes us unique.
And then you have those little intimate spaces, so you really do have the range.
And the cool thing is sometimes both of those things can happen simultaneously.
Absolutely.
Which not a lot of people have that ability as well. So that's something that we really treasure.
What are some of the things then that we have to look forward to?
I think this year we did a lot of programming for children, which has been very, very exciting. We started an after-school program. It was through a grant from Lackawanna County Arts Engage, and it's a performing arts program. We did it in the fall, 3 days a week, and they're children from the community, all different ages, elementary, middle school, and high school kids. And what's wonderful about it, some of these kids were so interested in the programming that they got filtered into our Shrek Junior, the musical. So they actually became performers once they had the exposure of the performing arts activity and had that kind of that bug tickled inside them. So it was really a delightful thing to see. And that was something new this year. And a lot of our programming was focused on children and family. And particularly when we started our summer camp this year, which was kind of like a new beginning for us because we started summer camp from scratch. And we were able to build from there. And so we got families of all different aspects of the community coming to the Scranton Cultural Center. May never have been there before, but now they're coming to see their children in a performance that was a result of one of the weeks of summer camp. So we've been doing a lot this year, and we're going to continue with our after-school program starting in February with some interesting kinds of mediums. So kids are going to get some wonderful exposure.
The best part about that after-school program is that it is actually free because of the grant. So, you know, any child that wants to come and get education in the arts, and that's visual, it's, I think we're going to be touching on creative writing, photography, theater, singing, like all, you know, the full gamut, costuming we did in the fall, they can come and do that and not have to worry about how can I afford it.
And we're so delighted. We're so delighted because we feel strongly, I think, our staff and our board of directors, that we need to be accessible to the community and become truly a community resource. And I think starting with that type of programming, and many of our programs, if they're not free, they're very nominal costs. So it's very accessible. And using the building as an accessibility as well, using all aspects of the building, as you said, from the top of the building to the bottom of the building with the Junior Theater to the Shoplin Hall Theater, we can have multiple things going on at the same time. And not only is it an architectural treasure, and there's a lot of interesting architectural elements to learn and to know about, but also our partnership with the Masons. It was built as a Masonic temple. And the symbolism and the wonderful aspects of what Masonry is all about.
You do have this ongoing commitment to young people, but then you do have wonderful shows that come in.
Right. We have Jersey Boys coming up on the 17th, and it's going to be the 17th to the 22nd. I think 10 shows in all?
I think so, yeah.
So it's going to be a long run. They were here several years ago, and I think they were here for 16 days. So this is certainly a testament to the community loving that show, and the talent is just amazing. And what better place to see it but on our stage? And it's very family. It's a very family show, so people of all ages will love to come to that.
So you've got things like Jersey Boys. What else is coming along?
We have some other musical events, and I'm gonna toss it to Rachel because she works in concert with Maria Santamaro, who's been on your show before. And there's some fun musical events coming up.
Well, we are very excited to bring back our Soul Shakers Winter Blues Guitarmageddon 2 this year. It will be, since it was the first one last year. We had a great night last February. It was Friday night. Nothing better than to come out and warm up with some nice, soulful, bluesy kind of music in our grand ballroom. And we have a great lineup. We have Dana Gaynor, Paul Lyon and Joe Doherty, Chris London, Dave Masiak, and Dave Anderson with Mojimo and the Mojimo Horns. And they're going to be at the Cultural Center in our Grand Ballroom on February 17th at 7:30. I mean, it's very affordable for 4.5 hours of music, just one after the other. So it'll be a jam-packed night of a lot of great music and good fun.
And footnote, tell us about the Grand Ballroom. Imagine having not just a monster stage for the orchestral or the Broadway shows, but then you have a Grand Ballroom. How does that work?
The stage opens up to the Grand Ballroom, which is so unique. Raymond Hood had to be a genius to come up with that idea, and I think that's why he won the competition when they put it out to bid back in the 1920s. Which is amazing, but he had the foresight to see that this is something that could be very, very practical. And it was really used probably for the function of the time, but how practical it is for Broadway shows to come in because they could use it as their staging area. And that's what gives us all that extra space. So when we do the Winter Blues, we're doing it right in the ballroom, but we're going to have the stage behind us and the theater behind us, which is a beautiful, beautiful image. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Just adds to the whole ambiance. But also with the Winter Blues, the interest was so great that we did a jazz event back in September, and that went very well, too. It was a tribute to Patrick Marcinko, Jr. He left us too soon. He was part of the process in the beginning when we were planning the event, and unfortunately passed before it started, but we were able to have a beautiful event in his honor and a beautiful tribute to him, all that he has done for this community.
Well, and that's something that I think we always strive to come across, like all of the staff at the Cultural Center, and there aren't that many of us, but it's not just our building. I mean, it's the community's building, like, and we want the entire community to feel a sense of ownership, to know you can come here, this is a place for you. You know, somebody like me, I grew up coming to the Cultural Center on field trips, so it's such a full circle moment for me when I see all the young ones coming through. I get teared up just thinking about it, because I just think that was me, and now these are this new generation that's coming through that can develop this same appreciation to know this building belongs to all of us.
And isn't there something about that experience, especially for young people, of the live performance?
Absolutely.
We were the venue last evening for Paw Patrol. It was there in the morning and in the evening around 6 o'clock. And the kids were mesmerized. And these were little kids, and they were mesmerized. They didn't even want to take a break from the intermission because they wanted to stay in their seat. They were so mesmerized. So that's an experience that you can't put a dollar figure on that. You can't evaluate that. That's a personal experience, but the impact it has in the long term.
What else do you have in store?
One of the exciting things that's a little different aspect is our new free series for children and families, because we know, especially, money is tight. You know, that's no secret for a lot of us. And we want to do something, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors, especially Toyota of Scranton, to be able to offer some kind of free experience for kids and families to come to the Cultural Center and have a good time. So we are starting a series where we have a free craft workshop and a free movie showing once a month from January through May in our Shopland Hall and Craftsman Hall. And it'll just be a great time to come and do some crafts and then watch a film and not have to stress about, you know, going to the movies and how much money is that going to cost and things like that. And that's also a great opportunity for us, for parents who always sacrifice so much to make sure their kids can go see something. They can take them to this for free. Maybe they'll see some information about an upcoming menu event or Guitarmageddon or anything else that we have coming up that they think, you know, I was able to treat them doing this and it was less expensive, so now I can do something to treat myself.
And we also have some of our regular programming on the calendar. We have the menu, which is, it's on a Monday night, so it's kind of an obscure night. People can come out for a very nominal cost and enjoy a restaurant doing a demonstration, a live demonstration of cooking a meal. But it's small plates. It's a tasting of something, but it's wonderful. We've had several different restaurants who've been coming on a Monday once a month, and our next one coming up is February 13, and it's going to be Posh. And I think they're doing something about Cupid's arrow. Mm-hmm. So because it's the day before Valentine's Day, so they want to do something romantic. And then on March 13th, we're going to have the Colonnade, and it's going to be the Luck of the Irish. Well, we do St. Patrick's Day, which is Parade Day. That's not a fundraiser. Again, free to the community, where people can come into the Grand Ballroom, listen to wonderful Irish music, watch all the different dance groups come in and do their Irish step dancing.
Bagpipers. My favorite.
Coming from the parade back into our facility, which is a great place for people to come and go throughout the day. It's a warm, safe environment with fun, family-friendly environment.
It's a great bar alternative, too, because it's not as crowded. And like Deb said, families can come and feel comfortable coming and having a good time.
And again, our gift to the community, it's free. So people can come in and enjoy themselves. They can spend as long as they want or come and go. And we have a couple other fundraisers coming
We're
up.
Very excited. The second year of our Buy Local Spring Fling event, which is a take on our Buy Local Holiday Marketplace, which we just had our fifth year of our Buy Local Holiday Marketplace, and it was a great day for all, I think. So this will be our second year with the Spring Fling. It'll be a little smaller, a little more intimate than the holiday show, just because shopping trends are different, but we'll certainly have plenty of vendors. We're targeting around 75 or so, like we did last year, to have plenty of different gifts for whether you have, you know, a communion coming up or graduation. It's before Mother's Day. We'll have a lot of different options for people. And that's just, it's such a great opportunity to see our building filled with other local businesses, because after all, we ourselves are a local business. So it's so great to share that and put them on the spotlight and get the word out about some of these businesses that maybe they're online or maybe they're run in a storefront that people just aren't aware. It's in a different town. So you don't know all of the great local businesses that are out there. And we have, you know, some businesses that are handmade and craft focused, others that are storefronts, and just a very wide variety and a lot of fun things to see. So that'll be April 2nd from 11 to 4.
We do have another fundraiser, which is going to wind up our season. It's called the Evening of Fine Food and Wine. We've been doing it for a number of years.
This is its 17th
year. I was going to say 17 years, yes. And it's going to be on April 30th, starting at 5:30. What it does is we go through all the different four levels of the building, and we start at a different level depending on what group you go into. And then each level, each room has an entree and a restaurant providing a wonderful opportunity to talk about their food, pairing it with wine. We have an opportunity through either our board or through some of our guests talking a little bit about the building and the architecture of the building. So it's an educational process as well, an educational component. They get a lot to eat and a lot of wonderful experiences. They're enjoying their time with their friends, or they're meeting new friends, and they're just enjoying, and they really feel like they're giving a contribution to the cultural center because they're seeing what's happening there. They're seeing the life of the activity, but they're also falling in love with the building, and that's important.
And most of the restaurants that are involved year after year. You know, I think last year we did introduce a few new restaurants, and we hope to introduce a couple new each year. But sometimes that doesn't happen because they just have such a great time and they love the exposure and interacting with the crowd that they want to continue coming back. So it's definitely a testament to the way NEPA works and that we all support each other.
And we're led by a wonderful board of directors who are totally committed to the Scranton Cultural Center, and they work very closely with the staff to make sure that everything is launched and going off the way it needs to, but they also offer the support and the encouragement and also the financial support because they're supporting these fundraisers just as we're asking the community to support these fundraisers. So they've been a wonderful asset, and that's on April 30th, so we're all excited about that. And we have a lot going on for the summer.
We are so excited about our fourth summer of summer camp programming with offerings for children in pre-K all the way up to 12th grade. So the full gamut. If you have a little pre-K-er that you think maybe a full day is too much, we have half-day offerings for them to make sure they can still participate in the fun. But we are very excited to announce that we are going to be performing Hairspray Junior and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat with our summer stage division, which is 5th through 12th. But we have some special exceptions. We are going to open Hairspray up to 4th grade as well, so you can have a little taste of summer stage early if you want to be part of that great show. Of course, we all just watched the live performance on NBC. That was fantastic. And then Joseph is going to be the finale of our camp season, and that's going to also include our Little Dragon division. So that's going to be our entire camp performing that great classic, so fun, so much diverse music and dancing, and just a really great time.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you in your capacity as executive director, Deb. What kinds of things in terms of vision and hopes do you have?
I'm just so thrilled that we're becoming more and more accessible to the community. That was something that I think that the Cultural Center always felt, but me coming with my many years of human services felt that accessibility needed to continue and even become more enhanced. And also I keep thinking of enhancing the local community talent. We were kind of a show house for the New Vintage Ensemble last year when they did their Hamlet. And also, we were a venue this year in a very big way for the Fringe Festival. So it's really opening our doors to local community talent and have them hone their skills by using a real stage and using our facility. So that's something that's a vision of mine. And somewhere down the line, I would love to have a record label. I'd love us to do some recordings. It's something I've been talking about because there's a lot of wonderful musicians. A couple of weeks ago, we had the Menzingers and several other performers.
The Swims, Captain We're Sinking, yeah. Pedal. Three-man cannon.
That's right. And they're all local talent who are doing very, very well for themselves. And they came together to do this benefit for arts in the community and some of it to benefit the Cultural Center as well. And the community really embraced it. But that's the kind of thing I see us doing more and more of.
Deborah Moran Peterson, Executive Director of the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple, and Rachel Frondotti, PR and Marketing Director of the Center, speaking with us about the Center in downtown Scranton and a number of the events that are in the offing. Jersey Boys will open January 17th at 7:30 p.m.
It's The Menu on February 13th at 7, The Soul Shakers Winter Blues Guitarmageddon on February 17th. Looking ahead to April the 30th, it's the 17th annual evening of fine food and wine and all of the events we heard them speak of, including the free craft workshop and film showing featuring The Incredibles. And that's Saturday, January 21st. The craft workshop for young ones is at 10 a.m., the film showing at 11. It's all at the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple. For more information, you may find them online at sccmt.org, and that stands for Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple. So it's sccmt.org. Also, you might want to take advantage of the free tours of this extraordinary facility. And the next one is January 14th, and the details about that are listed on the website as well. sccmt.org, the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple.